It's a blessing to me to be here, and I'm sorry my family cannot be with me. As you've seen, five children that we have, I'm beginning to get gray hair right now. So, but our kids have limited days of when they can be off on our trips to these supporting churches, and they've used up just all of them. So that's why they couldn't come with me on this trip. But we're here till...
I'm going to preach over here.
Yes, sir. I can. That's...
I'm going to preach over here, too.
That'd be great, too.
Does it be better preaching from this pulpit or from that?
This will work, then. This is for short people like me, yeah. So that's...
You can pull that up, so if you do.
You work this.
Right here.
All right.
Exactly.
This will do. That will do. That will do.
You want to go higher with us?
Yeah. Let's do that.
Push it up.
Yeah, just pull it up. There we go.
Is that good?
Yeah.
You can tighten it.
We came in the beginning, back in August because we wanted our kids to be in that Christian school down in Charleston. So, we got there just in time before the school started, and our plan was to keep them there till the year is over before we go back. The reason was when we did that last furlough, took them out before the school was out, their mind was not in school when we left to go back. So we think this is better to do it this way. It's a lot longer than we like to. We kind of hated that the Bolstons got there and 3 months after that we left. But I want to say thank you. I wasn't really sure. I didn't know if this is one of their supporting churches, but I'm very grateful that you did take them on to support and to be with us and work with us. And the reason I asked Brother John to come out there was to help do the translation of the Old Testament Bible. When I do preach out of the Old Testament, I have to read my English King James and do the best I can to interpret. So I'm knowing John with studying the Greek and Hebrew and being a friend, close friend of mine. He's like a brother to me, and many summers and Christmas breaks, that's where I spent at his place down in Orangeburg, South Carolina. And one day after he got out of the military, and he was, I think when we came on last furlough, I then approached him and I said, have you ever considered or thinking about, coming and help us and help with the translation? And he told me, I'll pray about it. And the Lord opened the door for them to be with us. So it's nice as we're here now on furlough and he's over there taking care of the ministry. It's not like before where I have a little concern of how things were going, but I know things are running well. I call back at times where we message back and forth and we hear good things. And so very nice to have Brother John there. And I know this is where some of his family are, brother-in-law, sister-in-law. What's the name? Laura and Wes. That's where they are right now. So anyways... It's a blessing to know that things are running well back there. And keep us, continue to pray for us. I have some cards that I gave Pastor, for you all to get our new prayer cards. Our old one is four kids, but now we got the fifth one and this will be it. I think the Lord is putting that limit right there. And so, but anyways, Brother John and Krista, as soon as they got there, they really dug into the language. Okay, so maybe some of you do not know. I think English would be my third language. So bear with me if I don't make myself clear to you. But Panapane is my first language. That's the language I speak most of the time, all the time when I'm back home. And then Kostrayan is my mother's language. Panapane is my dad's language from the island of Panape. And then the island of Kostray is where my mom's from, and totally different language from Panapane. My grandmother with my dad's mother is from a small island called Mokil, and she has a different language. Now, all these languages, they said, are not related to any other languages. And so it's very different. So when I first came to America to Bible school, I struggled so much with English. Because I would think of what to say, and for a few seconds, I tried to put the words in my mind before I said it. And so that's a little background of my language there. But they dug into the language and really learning it, and they're doing well learning the language. And every now and then when I talk to Krista and I talk to John, we kind of, you know, practice the Panapean a little bit as we talk. So they're doing well. I get so anxious, wanted to start the translation. One day I asked John, I said, John, when do you think we can begin the translation? And he told me, he says, I want to master the language first. So thinking that maybe a little time before we can start that project, but keep that in your prayer as you remember it, because it's a great need. We want our people in the church to have a good, dependable translation in their hands where they can read the Word of God and learn and grow in their Christian life. So that's been our goal, our prayer. And thank you for being a part of our ministry. All that you saw on that DVD as something you've been a part of. Many of those people that came to know Christ has been something you have a part in bringing them to Christ. And those who are saved, who are growing, you've been a part in their lives as well through your supports as you are faithfully supporting us. So we really couldn't do this without you. And I'm glad that the Lord opened the opportunity to be here physically in person to say thank you, and not just through prayer letters as we've tried to send at least every month if we could. So thank you so much for your partnership. And tonight I've been put in a spot to sing a song, so I'm going to try. He likes to do that to me, you know. I enjoy being back to see my friend here. Brings back lots of memories. You know, I travel with Brother Joel, Pastor Long, back and forth. At one time, my first year in the States at school, Wilmington, where his home originally is where I would go. And we enjoy just traveling together and singing in the car and just praising the Lord and just getting to know him. I got to work for him one time, you know. And
what kind of boss was he?
Yeah?
What kind of boss was I?
I'll tell you later. Yeah. And I did. He's always a blessing and a good boss. Good boss, but I worked for a very short amount of time with him. Anyways, the Lord's been good in our friendship, and I'm very grateful that God enabled me to be here. And I'll try to sing this song that's been an encouragement to me every time I think of the words of the song. Now, there are two songs with the same title, and it's called Bow the Knee. So it's been a while since I've done this, so bear with me. I just kind of tried to put, I'm glad Brother West did print out the words to it just a while ago. I tried to write it a while ago, but you know, I'm glad the words are here now, so I hope I'll do it right. Just bear with me and pray for me as well. Is this good, Pastor? Usually when we're traveling on our furlough now, my son loves musical instruments. He plays, he loves his guitar. And he does the singing for us. He does the playing for us when we get up and sing. And he loves piano. He loves his ukulele. And so he just enjoyed that. So I let him do that. And so it's been a while since I've done this. So I'm going to do my best, okay?
On our journey following the Lord, where God illumines every step we take. There are times when circumstances make perfect sense to us as we try to understand each move he makes. When the path grows dim, don't forget we've, and our questions have no answers, turn to him. Bow the knee, trust the heart of your Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see. Bow the knee, lift your eyes toward heaven and believe the one who holds eternity. And when you don't understand the purpose of his plan, in the presence of the King, bow the knee. Days when clouds surround us and the rain begins to fall, the cold and lonely wind won't cease to blow, and there seems to be no reason for the suffering we feel. We are tempted to believe God does not know. When the storms arise, don't forget we live by faith and not by sight. Bow the knee, trust the heart of your Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see. Bow the knee, lift your eyes toward heaven and believe the one who holds eternity. And when you don't understand the purpose of his plan, in the presence of the King, bow the knee, bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on his throne, see him high and lifted up and bow the knee. He'll be for it, I'll adore him. As you live to love him more, bow the knee. Trust the heart of your Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see. Bow the knee, lift your eyes toward heaven and believe the one who holds eternity. And when you don't understand the purpose of his plan, in the presence of the King, bow the knee. As you live to love him more, bow the knee.
Am I saving your ear? Well, thank the Lord. Please turn with me. I will not take too long of this moment as we go into God's Word. if maybe you have a question, one or two, I can maybe take that a short moment to answer a question if you have. And anybody with a question? If not, after the service, feel free to talk to me. If you have any question to ask, now some of you may be wondering, where's Micronesia? Would that be one question there? Micronesia are these small islands right down in the South Pacific. If you go to the map, see Australia, Papua New Guinea, and right above that is where these islands are. They said There's so many, many islands. There are about over 100,000 islands out there. And they spread out everywhere where it covers probably half the size of the United States. So you can imagine how big the area is. And one of the islands is called Panavis, where I was born and raised. And here's my language, just for you to hear what it sounds like. I'll quote John 3:16. Says, Poyer tuen kots katin kupuresan ba, me agatki dogi sabuel me yeros, po korus me poson lai, and der salongala, anan kimor sotrik. That's the John 3:16 in my language, Panapean. I never memorize in Koshrayan, but maybe someday I'll do that for you. But anyways, our reading I'd like to share this morning would be from 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 19. 2 Timothy 2:19. By the way, did I give you a chance to ask a question? I probably didn't. Yeah? Okay. Yes, ma'am. We do have a translation in the New Testament. It's not really, it was translated out of the NIV. And that's what's available now. And that's what we're using. We like to where we finish the Old Testament and get into the New Testament as well. So, yeah, that's what our prayer and plan is. Anyone else with one more or two? One. Okay. Thank you for that question. Okay. It says here in 2 Timothy 2, verse number 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. As I read this verse, these words in the middle of the verse just kind of jumped out to me and put me into thinking the words that says, the Lord knoweth them that are his. You've read those tracts that says in the front of it, are you 100% sure if you die today you go to heaven? Are you 100% sure you've been saved? So you may have seen tracts like that. So when you look at those questions, tonight, can you honestly say, I am 100% sure if I die today, heaven would be my home? Is your answer to that question would be a joy in your heart because you know now that you're saved? As we look at the verse, God knoweth them that are his. And back in the islands, there are so many religious people. The Catholic is the main religion back home. Next to that group is what we call them, the Congregational Protestant Church that preaches basically about good works for you to get saved. And that's the church my mom was a member of for years since she was little until she got saved. My dad was a Catholic. Anyways, a lot of religious people. But often I would remind them that the only way to be saved is by being born again, is by accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It's not by a religion that you have been brought up with. It's not by being born into a Christian family and therefore you are saved, but it's by accepting Christ in faith as your only Lord and Savior. And as we look in the verse, it says, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Some may say, I'm saved. And some, most of us, I'm sure, who have been saved can say, I am saved and no doubt. But there may be some that says, I'm saved, but in God's sight, they have never been saved. They have never been born again. So that the thought right here, as we look at the verse, I want to share three thoughts that I saw in this verse. First of all, that speaks of the foundation of God. The second is the family of God. And the last one is the fellowship of God. And let's pray before we talk about these 3 points. Father, thank you so much for your word. I thank you for this church. I thank you for your blessings upon them and their faithfulness to you and their obedience to the Great Commission in reaching the world for the gospel, to bring them to Christ for salvation. I thank you, Lord, for the missionaries that they support, including ourselves, the Bolstons who are on the island of Ponte. Lord, I pray that you would bless this moment as we look into your word, that our hearts would be challenged. May you receive the glory and honor. And if anyone in our midst may not be saved tonight, I pray that you would speak to his heart to show him this greatest need, that he needs to get saved as even tonight or as soon as possible. We pray that you would be glorified in our service tonight. Help me to say what you would have me to say. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look in the verse, part of the verse, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The foundation of God is, as we can think of, none other than the Lord Jesus himself. 1 Corinthians 3:11 tells us, for the foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There is no other Savior than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He himself said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not is one of the ways. Other religion may claim their founder to be the Savior, but God has given one name under heaven, according to Acts 4:12, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way of salvation for all human race to come through in order to get to heaven. So we find that Jesus is the foundation. He is the sure foundation. He is the only Savior. John chapter 10:9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. This is the message that we're teaching and preaching back on the island of Ponape. So many people think that they've been born as a Catholic and they're going to remain as a Catholic for the rest of their life, and they're thinking that they're going to go to heaven. And how sad it is when some of these funerals that I would attend, hearing the priest would pray the spirit of that dead person into the kingdom of God. It's heartbreaking to hear messages like that because we know it's not true. And therefore, you can see in their life as they can live the way they want, because someday when they die, whoever is preaching their funeral can pray his soul into God's kingdom. It's heartbreaking to stand and listen to preaching like that because we know that's not what the Bible says. We know that one must realize his sinful state. One must realize that he's a sinner, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. One must realize the reason why Christ came on the cross was to die for all sin, all human sin, and was to be buried and rose again. He is the only way of salvation. One must realize that he cannot save his own self, like we hear Pastor mention this morning. One must realize that his good works cannot get him to heaven. You know, I was growing up in my mom's church. Most of the time, that's where we went to church. I hear my cousins, my aunties, my relatives would talk about times when I'm concerned, if I die, where would I go? And their teaching to us little kids is, do all the good things. Be obedient to mom and dad. Go to church. Do the right thing. Be nice to your neighbor. Nice to your friends. All these good things. And someday, when God would weigh your good works and the bad works, if your good works are more and outweigh the bad, then you'll know for sure you'll be in heaven. Well, they say that, but they're not sure. They're not really sure. And it comes to a time when some of them in their older years and they're dying, they know they have a few days left, and you talk to them, they're fear, they're afraid, because they're not sure they're going to heaven. And here are some people that talk in this way, that taught that good works is the way of salvation. And at their death time, coming to their death moments, they are unsure about it, they're in fear. One cousin of mine that was like that, and when the doctor told her, you got maybe this week or a few days to live, my mother went to her and started witnessing to her when she was laying on her bed. And then knowing that she was going to die, she was in fear. And she was one of those that were very against the Baptist church, very against the preaching of salvation that we preach. And then in her dying moment, when mom was speaking to her, she was willing to hear because she knew she wasn't ready to die. And mom shared the testimony that at that time, after sharing the gospel, sharing the love of Christ, she accepted the Lord. And when she prayed, tears started flowing down her eyes. And she, for some reason, kind of, God gave her a little strength that she was able to say to my mother, I'm in no fear of death anymore. I know that if I die, I'd go to heaven because Christ has saved me. I have accepted him as my Savior. That's the joy of hearing testimonies like that. And that's the only message. That's the foundation that God has chosen for us to have in our Christian life. We cannot build our Christian life on any other things but on Christ at salvation. So here we find him. The foundation of God is the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ is a secure foundation, one that we can depend on that never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Many of the Bible verses that explain to us that we serve an unchanging God. And since this is the foundation he had picked for salvation for all human, it's still the same. It hasn't changed. People can think of other ways, but it's still the same. This week we're reminded of what took place before the resurrection. I hope that you would give a thought on that, preparing your heart for next Sunday, the worship of sunrise worship, and then remembering of our Lord's resurrection. We must think on what took place before that time. Jesus was suffering for our sins. Jesus, who was sinless, was perfect, yet took upon himself all of our sins to pay for our sins. He died and he rose again. He lives today and he lives within our hearts. As we look at the verse again, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit enters our body and he indwells us at that moment of salvation until the day he calls us home. But here he says, the Lord knoweth him that are his. You know, I cannot, and no one can really tell what's in our hearts, but God knows what's in our hearts. And God knows who are those that belong to him. When God looks upon us tonight, does he see your heart as one of his? Or he sees that you are not one of his yet? If there is any feeling of doubt, then I pray that you would get that matter settled as soon as possible. If it's just your own words saying that you are, but you're not sure, it may be that you haven't been saved yet. You must know as the Spirit enters into our hearts, you know, he lets us know that we're one of his. Amen. You know, the Spirit bared with our spirit that we are the child of, we're a child of God. You know, we can know for sure when we did really accept Christ as our Savior one time in our life. Here is the family of God. The Lord knoweth them that are His. The amazing thing about being in the family of God is that God knows each one of His children. He knows all of us by name. We are into this family by the spiritual birth. Just like what we read about Nicodemus, a religious man. And I can think of many people back home who are so religious. And they think that being a religious person is the way to get them to heaven. But Nicodemus, who was one of the Pharisees and knew a lot about the Bibles, very knowledgeable about the Word of God then, even Jesus told him he must be born again. And he was a man that I'm sure obeyed all the laws. If you look at his record, it was clean. He was a man who obeyed everything that the law says. But yet in God's sight, he wasn't his child yet. And he told him he must be born again. We can go and read those, but no time to do that. But we are reminded of a person like him. We become saved as we trusted Christ as our Savior and born into the family of God. I'm very grateful for my family. I am very glad to be brought up in a home where most of my life I was raised in a Christian home. I'll share this very briefly. But I grew up in a home where, before my parents got saved, Dad was a Catholic who would go to church once in a while, once a year. And I remember it would be the Easter Sunday. And I would go with them sometimes, and instead of sitting inside the building, we sit outside, and it just kind of looked like we were in church. But really, that really didn't help. But I remember my mom, who was a faithful Protestant member, became somewhat a preacher lady in her church. And every time the church door of her church would be open, she was there if she wasn't sick or nothing else really important happened. But anyways, I remember going with my mom many times to church. Growing up in a background like that with two different religions, that what he loved then was his alcohol. He loved the smoke, he loved the gambling, he loved the worldly lifestyle, and the moments that I often hate seeing happen, or all the time I hated to see happen, is when Dad would get drunk and show up at the house, because I know he will do something bad. And many times, Mom, when she hears Dad coming home real drunk, she would gather all of us kids, trying to get us away so Dad would not hurt us. And I remember times when she would hide us some places. And the next day, I would see my mom covered with bruises and black eye. It got to a point where my mom just got fed up with that kind of lifestyle. And she said, I'm leaving. I'm taking all the kids. I'm going to my island of Kosrae. And Dad just kind of didn't care about it. So we went to Kosrae after a few months. Dad couldn't take it any longer. And went to Kosrae and begged Mom to come back. And Mom, before she agreed with him, said to Dad, you know, you cannot have your alcohol and the family together. These two don't mix together. Don't you agree with that? And then she said, you need to pick which one. If us, you must quit the drinking. So Dad knew it was a serious thing from Mother. And he said, I promise you I'll change. And I think he seriously meant that. Because when we went back, Dad started to search God in every denomination. He started to search the miracle that will change his life. He went to all different denominations. And one day he decided to go with my mother to her church. And coming down from our home down to a hill at the bottom was the only church, the Baptist church on the island called Calvary Baptist Church. It's still there. As they were coming by the church, they saw that there were a crowd there, a lot of people in the building, a lot of people outside looking through the windows and at the door looking in. And he said to my mother, "Why don't we stop and go to church here?" My mother says, "To a Baptist church, that would be the last place I'll go to. You go ahead and stay. I'm going to go to my church." So Dad went in there and found out that night there was an American missionary preaching. It could have been Dr. Wingard. I don't know who it was. But for the first time in his life, he heard the message that touched his heart. And he responded to the invitation. Went forward, someone took him aside and showed him how to get saved. And he got saved. And the Lord started to change his life. It was a miracle I could not believe as a little boy, seeing Dad was starting to go to church faithfully. Dad was reading his Bible. Dad was praying. It was amazing. Mom thought he was going crazy, but it took a while. My mom loved the change, but she didn't want to be a part of it yet. And then after probably a year and a half, she finally got saved. But you know, I want to say that because I'm so grateful that God placed me in that family and grateful for the decision Dad made to get saved. Amen. Because it affected the whole family. Then I got saved at the age of 14. My oldest sister got saved before me. I'm the second to the oldest, and then I have twin sisters after me and a brother and two sisters after that. All of them profess Christ as their Savior, very involved in their churches today. So I'm grateful for the family that I have, but I'm much more grateful than that is the family of God that God has placed me in. To be a part of His family is a wonderful thing. Amen. And are you a child of God? Do you know? As God sees you now, does He see you as one of His or not one of His? Yes, yet. If there is any doubt, I pray that you'll get that matter settled. Then let's go to the last point. I'll complete that. Where it says, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." After being saved, we must follow the Lord. We must follow Him in obedience. God is a holy God. And the name that we bear as we live out this life on this earth, we bear a precious name. Amen. You are a Christian. That's Christ. Little Christ. We are Christians, followers of God. And I heard a message the preacher says, our duty on earth is to make that name beautiful. And the way to make that name beautiful is to depart from iniquity. Is to live a pure life, a holy life, where he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, "He is holy, be holy, for I am holy." And I know we face temptations every day. I know there is a sin we commit each day, but we must be in constant fellowship with the Lord. Praise the Lord that that relationship at salvation will never be broken. Amen. We are His forever, but that fellowship can be if we yield to sin. If we commit sin, His words in 1 John 1:9, confess your sin. Because my mind just went blank there. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And here's the last thought I want to leave, and I'll turn that and read it in Romans chapter 6. What an encouraging chapter there. As Paul tells us in verse number 14 and 13 and 14. "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under grace." If I want to be effective for the Lord, and if I want to live to honor Him, if I want Him to use me, then I must live the way He wants me to be and be an instrument of righteousness for Him. So with that thought, I would conclude there. And the most important that I would think of this, as we saw in that word, those words, the Lord knoweth them that are his. If you're not one of his yet, don't wait. Become one of his soon. I hope tonight as well, if you're not yet there. We'll pray and I'll let Pastor come up here. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to look into your word. I do not know the needs that every one of us have here, but you know our needs, and may we as Christians live in fellowship with you every day. And if there be anyone as your child here that has sinned and is sliding away in his fellowship with you, I pray that you would work in his heart, convict him and bring him back to where he needs to be. But if there be anyone else that is not sure of salvation, there is doubt, I ask that you would work in his heart as well and bring him to that place where he know for sure he has become one of your child. Lord, other needs may be here and you know them. I pray that you would meet that need as well. And we give you praise, Father, for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, thank you.